You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Welcome on in, people.
You trying to tell me something?
Two P's.
You missed me last week?
No, so I ain't missing
oh,
you.
Oh, you ain't missing
yeah,
me at all.
I'm strong, brother. I'm strong.
Oh, wait. I misread the cue.
But I do
misheard
love...
Misheard the cue. You ain't missing me at all.
I do love 80s music, man.
Dude.
You know what a good story about this song that I
tell
have,
me.
Too?
Tell
is
me.
I'm a big fan of Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. And, you know, he had the whole... I don't know if you remember the whole controversy around The Tonight Show, where he was on The Tonight Show for like a year, and then he got fired, and then TBS ended up hiring him.
I don't remember this.
Okay, well, this happened like a while ago, like 7-8 years ago. But anyway, he ended up getting the show that we know him on now on TBS like a year after he'd been out of the limelight or whatever.
Okay.
And this was the song that he used for like his promos. When he
I ain't
like,
missing you at all.
It's coming back.
Since you've been gone.
It was people like just kind of looking for Conan in like popular culture, and the song was playing in the background. Anyway, a little side note there. What's up, brother?
Hey, man.
Welcome in. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 70.
70. That's a big deal.
70.
That's a big deal.
A little younger than me, but we're climbing up there.
70.
Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald.
Andy's in La Casa. So, let's see, man. So, last week you were sick.
I was really... Now, here's the thing.
What'd you have? Poopies? What'd you have?
I don't get sick very often. I probably get sick once every 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Like, I never get sick. But when I do get sick, I get really sick.
Yeah.
So I had the flu. I remember laying in bed on Wednesday moaning. Like, that's the only way that I felt even a semblance of being better is when I'd lay there and go,
I was moaning, I was moaning Wednesday morning as well,
yes.
But it's because I realized I was just still alive.
Oh, I'm alive. Yeah, but it, I mean, I was, yeah, I had the flu, sick Wednesday,
well,
Thursday,
sucks,
Friday.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling much better now.
Yeah, I wonder if you got it from me, because we get kind of close here.
We do, we
and,
get very close.
A couple weeks ago, I had a little something.
Interesting.
So I wonder if...
apparently, the doctor said it's a late flu season. It's May now. It's gonna be May.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's still going around, so, but I'm happy...
Cool, man.
I'm thankful to be alive.
Yeah,
even laying in the bed, I try to go through my gratitude and praying and,
yeah,
and talk about how thankful I am to be alive.
I know.
And
you do that shit.
I do that shit, man.
I know. That's you.
It's the National Day of Prayer today, by the way.
You got the peace sign on your shirt there.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, I think.
Is it? Should I pray?
Yes.
I don't know how to.
You got
will
to pray.
You teach me?
You remember, did you have a hammer on
her? Oh, yeah, MC Hammer.
Yeah. You got to
pray
just to make it
today.
That's why we pray.
Too legit. Too legit to quit.
I think you're creating
same
a...
Same album, though, right? I think it was the same album.
Too Legit was a different album.
I do remember Pray. That was my jam,
This
though.
Is Hammer... Please, Hammer, don't hurt him. That's his first
He
album.
Heard him, though, brother.
He heard him.
He did not listen. He heard him. Yeah. He heard me. So, anyway, did I ask you what you did? Oh, you're sick.
I was
good.
Sick.
You feel better.
But hey, it was
you're
a
little
good...
Congested.
Yeah, it was a good week. How about
and,
you? How was your...
It was
I missed
good.
You. I missed
I had a wedding over this past weekend, which was... They were a great couple. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And...
Ooh.
Well, you meant, well, no spoilers.
Don't spoil me.
No,
don't.
If you fucking spoil this,
I'm not.
I'm going. Okay, so tonight, as we're recording, so this will be probably actually this will probably be airing when I'm sitting in the theater.
Interesting.
But tonight, I'm going to see the Avengers: Infinity War.
I saw it
on
Tuesday.
I know you did, and I don't want any spoilers.
Okay,
but you can give a quick grade if you want. What's your grade out of 10?
Oh, a 10.
I fucking 10 out of
10.
Holy shit!
Now. It's not just that.
Don't go nuts.
It's not that it's just a great movie. I mean, because of course every Marvel movie is epic,
yeah.
But this is the epic movie that the other epic movies have been leading toward, which
yeah.
means it's super epic. And you think, how are they going to do it? But they did it. It was an amazing movie. But what happened? How it ended? The turn of events? The villain? All appeals to my sentimentality.
I'm gonna need you.
I thought it was an amazing
I'm
movie.
Need you to back off
next this. Time we get together, friend, we'll talk
yes.
about it.
Yes, absolutely.
But it was, I give it a 10. I thought it was a great movie.
Now, listen.
I'm a sucker for Marvel, but I thought it was a great movie.
Listen, I got to tell you now.
Tell me now.
Another thing that's cool about going to see the Avengers is, well, there's a couple things. So, obviously, the Avengers, I'm a Marvel fan. It's going to be cool to see.
I'm drinking out of your Marvel cup.
Oh, you know what else, by the way? So, the last week, I've been doing research because I was so behind on these kind of like sub, like off movies from Marvel. So, I had never seen Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I saw that.
Did you see both of them or just
the
first one?
Nah, I just watched the first one.
Did you like it? That's a good movie.
It was really good.
Guardians, I like both of those movies.
I didn't see the sequel, but I saw the first one.
Chris Pratt is I mean, he's amazing.
He's good. And then I watched Ant-Man with Paul Rudd, which I also enjoyed.
Okay, that's a good one.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming was amazing.
But the point is, I'm fucking old and behind.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen any of those.
I tried to catch up.
Is that going to help me seeing those?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Mainly with the relationships. The relationship between Peter Parker and Tony Stark is very important.
All right, yes. Okay. A couple other things about it, though. So that's obviously exciting.
Obviously.
It's the Avengers. But,
and you get to get out of the house and see it with people.
Right. Another thing is, I'm going to be singing at the Alamo, which I told you I'm in love with.
Obviously.
The Alamo Draft House.
You get to drink and sit down in a comfy chair and watch a movie.
I don't know if I'll see the movie. I'll probably just be passed out of the bar while the movie's playing. But I'll let you know how that turns out.
Okay. keep us informed. Okay.
I'll be the old Robert Downey Jr., not the Iron Man Downey Jr. I'll pass out in somebody's bed. And then the other thing is, a couple of our podcasting friends are meeting me there because they're from North Carolina.
Are you guys going to podcast during the show?
No, but that would be awesome.
That'd be rude.
But hey, but we're gonna meet there. Wesley from Via VHS is going to meet me out there, and Ashley from Rabbit Ears.
Okay,
so we're all from the Raleigh Durham area, and she's actually in Chapel
and they both have shout outs to old. Technology, VHS, rabbit ears.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to know what to do in a theater with high definition.
My God, 2018 has really come a long way. But anyway, I'll be meeting those guys out there. I'm excited about that. We'll be seeing Infinity War this evening.
Yes. So, is the Alamo House something that you eat and all that stuff?
Last time I went there, I almost died of a heart attack. I was eating all kinds of shit. I had cheese fries with like chili on them, and I don't know. My wife joked around, though, because we saw A Quiet Place, which is literally like a silent movie.
And the whole time you're like...
and she's like, yeah, that was the worst movie to like eat during. You know?
Chili cheese fries,
It's like every noise you make. Because there's no talking in the movie. There's nothing. It's like...
A Quiet Place. I guess it's quiet.
Silent the whole time. Yeah. All right. Let's get into our topics. People have tuned out at this point.
No. They're still here.
I think they're here.
Both of them are listening. The two people who listen to our show, they're just tuned in. They haven't figured out how to tune out yet.
I was going to say, they don't know what to do.
It just comes on every week. They have no idea. It's like when your channel is stuck on the Christian network.
That's a good point.
You start watching. That's a good point.
So, let's see. We got a couple topics to get into here on Entertainment Bookend, brother. And let's see. We'll start with Mr. Eminem, rapper Eminem.
I remember when his first album came out. I was on my way home from Gastonia I was going to ECU at the time.
Yeah.
And I'd heard My Name Is on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
That's a cool song. So, I stopped by the Media Play. We had a Media Play back then, kind of a pre-Best Buy type store. I went in there and I copped the Slim Shady EP.
Yeah, you did.
Because I wanted to see what it is. And I remember listening to it back to back to back.
Classic, bro.
Like two or three times in a row on the 4.5 hour trip home. I just couldn't stop listening to it. Eminem is one of those moments in hip-hop that shifted.
Oh, yeah.
He's such an amazing lyricist. The Slim Shady LP changed my life. I mean, it's a great album.
So unique. And what I like about Eminem, and I've talked about it on other shows before, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on this show before, but he had this quote when he got a lot of ridicule about his lyrics and being a bad influence.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Which is wonderful because his second album was even worse. So his first line, they say I can't talk about coke no more.
Right. But what I thought was cool, Eminem has been quoted in an interview saying, why can't music and lyrics be thought of as like a movie?
Exactly.
Because I'm just telling a story.
We're telling a story.
Entertaining people.
You can go to horror movies and people are shooting each other up. I mean, it's just a story. Yeah.
So, and I agree with that. And I thought he's an amazing lyricist that kind of incorporates his personal life.
He's very honest. He's very open.
Fictional at the same time.
And it's interesting to see the evolution of his music. He's gone through a lot of different things, especially through, and I think you're going to get into this, through his drug life, through his breakups, through his raising his daughter. He's gone through a lot.
Yeah, so actually
and he's given it all to us in his music.
So actually the topic I wanted to mention this week with Mr. Eminem there, Slim Shady, Marshall Mathers, is that he is now 10 years sober.
That's crazy. 10 years.
He shared an image on his Instagram and Twitter of his AA chip for just 10-year chip.
Congratulations. That's a big deal.
It really is.
Especially being in the music industry
when
drugs and alcohol and everything is offered to you on a daily basis. And even watching his transformation, like even in the early days, all he talked about was drugs. I mean, that was part of his persona.
Right.
So to be able to walk away from that, that's a big deal.
Right. No,
that's
crazy. A big deal. And he actually mentioned that on this post that he shared that he used to take up to 20 pills a day. And it was widely noted that he OD'd in 2007 from an overdose. He said that he credits his kids and regular exercise to of sobriety.
Yeah.
How you feel? You're a sober dude.
Yeah.
What keeps you in the, you just don't have a need, you don't care.
Well,
I mean, you were never really addicted to anything.
No, not really.
Sorry, I'm getting super deep. No, I don't think you were.
I never really drank a lot.
What if you came to me out right now, you're like, well, actually, I was addicted to murder at one point, but how
I never really drank a lot. I drink off and on. I drank whiskey, red wine, you know, just to relax, to hang out. But I never really drank a lot, so giving up alcohol is not a big deal. In high school, it was a lot of drugs.
Oh, okay.
Smoked weed a lot.
Were you like addicted to it, or you just had fun?
I mean, I think I developed a mental and emotional addiction. I mean, because that's how I defined relaxation. When I'm working, I'm working. When I'm not working, I'm smoking weed or getting high or whatever.
Okay.
And so I had to redefine what relaxation was to me. But what helped me to get over it, because now I don't do drugs, I don't drink at all anymore, is that I want life to be completely available to me. I don't want the cushion. A lot of people do drugs because they want a pillow over their head. They want a cushion between them and life. And that's fine. Some people need that, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But for me, I want to feel everything. I want to feel all the pain, all the pleasure. I want to feel all of life.
We know you do, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, anybody listens to the show knows
I'm
you.
Saying.
No, I know that's
I'm saying, but that's
you
what
just
helps
take
me.
In nature, I
what
know.
Helps me is to realize that, you know what? Every day is a gift. Every moment is a miracle. And if I'm high or if I'm drunk or if I'm inebriated, I can't see that.
So
I want to see as much of life as possible.
What you're saying is I probably made a mistake going to the Alamo to see that flick tonight. No shot I'm going to remember.
But this is just for me. This is personal. So to each his own. Everyone has their own needs, their own desires. And I'm also very lucky because I have such an amazing life anyway that I don't need to cushion myself from anything. But that's what keeps me going, that motivation to allow as much of life in as possible.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just me.
Well, congratulations to
Eminem. That's a huge
Eminem
deal,
Eminem over there, 10 years that's sober and sharing it online. Obviously very proud of it, and he should be. So that's a great thing there. Love Eminem. Still doing great music today, brother.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did you watch back in the 90s? Well, really, I think 80s, actually. Yeah. 80s, 80s, and 90s. Did you watch Double Dare?
Of course.
On Nickelodeon?
Everyone watched Double Dare.
Big deal, bro.
Everyone watched Double Dare, man.
Big deal.
This is probably, we're talking about, Nickelodeon was huge in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
Huge.
And as a kid, Double Dare was like the equivalent of like, if you're a senior, to The Price is Right.
Yeah. It was the, no, Double Dare was the kids game show.
Absolutely.
I mean, the kids game show.
So, Nickelodeon.
Double Dare was awesome. You got to run through the thing, go through the slime.
That was great.
You had to get the flags and do the obstacle course.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon announced Wednesday that the classic 90s game show Double Dare is set to return to the network this summer with 40 new episodes.
I wonder how they'll do. I wonder if it'll be kids are watching so much kind of different TV now and Netflix and all, you know, all this stuff.
I wonder
how they'll do.
I wonder if this had been better if it were streaming, like on Netflix.
Probably.
You know?
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it'll be popular?
I think it'll be good. Yeah, I think it'll be good for families.
They're going to get the same guy?
They're not. Original host Mark Summers will not be returning. Okay. They have not announced the new host yet. But it originally aired from 1986 to 1993, and then it had a short revival in the year 2000 that did not do well. But this is going to be more like the original. So they're basically just going to replicate the original with a new host.
Well, okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
I'd like to see how that goes.
I kind of hope they get a celebrity host that kind of has a name for himself.
Yeah.
Personally, because I feel like
that'll
help.
Don't you think they probably will?
That'll help their draw a little bit. Get Joey Fatone, man.
Joey Fatone?
He's a badass out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, he did good. He hosted that Price is Right, the traveling Price is Right I was on.
Really?
Yeah, he did good.
Wonderful.
And he's got the insight. Maybe JQ.
Price is Right was my jam. Price is Right was my jam. Because I used to watch that with my grandmother and my grandfather.
I love Price is Right, man. So Saturday Night Live, we've talked about on several occasions throughout the last couple of years of the show. But
you still watch Saturday Night Live?
I do, yeah. We DVR it and try to watch it every week. Michael Che and Colin Jost, who are the hosts of the Weekend Update.
They have a great rapport together. Mm-hmm. They're so good the way they bounce off one another. They do a really good job.
Because Colin Jost is like the whitest dude on earth.
Exactly.
And then obviously Michael Che's a black dude.
And he calls him out on it all the time. Yeah.
They just bounce off each other.
Yeah. They do a good job. They do a really good job.
But I do like them together as well. And they're also both writers on SNL. So they have, they have a strong comedic background there. But anyway, it's been announced that those two gentlemen as a duo are going to host the 70th annual Emmy Awards this year.
Really?
Yep. They'll be hosting the Emmys.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it says here the Weekend Update duo will share MC duties at the award show.
I wonder if they'll do it from a desk. I just sit on stage. Because they've never really stood up before.
Maybe they'll start.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll start it out that way.
They have to.
But it's going
they
to,
have to.
It's going to air at on September 17th of this year. So here's a quote. NBC is thrilled to be the home of this year's Emmy Awards with hosts Colin and Michael in the driver's seat. Also, I thought this was interesting, but Colin Jost and Michael Che released a statement of how excited they were. And it says in here, we are proud to be the first duo hosting the Emmys since Jenna Elfman and David Hyde Pierce. And somehow that is a real fact. unquote.
Really?
So they were, that was in the 90s.
I didn't recognize the other two names. Who were they?
Jenna Elfman was on, they were both really popular 90s shows. Well, David Hyde Pierce was Miles on Frasier.
Oh, got it. Jenna Elfman was wonderful.
Oh, God. For some reason, I can't remember the name of her show, but it was on with, like, when Roseanne
so they
was
did,
on.
They did a duo.
Yeah, now I gotta look it up. But yeah, so anyway, they were popular 90s sitcom stars.
So that's the only, that's the last time they had a duo. They don't really do that much. That's
crazy.
Cool.
It was
that's
in the 90s. It was crazy. So anyway.
Maybe one day you and I will host.
Anyway, I think I'm going to check out Michael Che and Colin Jost on this because I like them both.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting draw just to see, because I mean I don't watch any of these movies or shows or whatnot. I watch movies, but I don't watch any of these award shows. But maybe I'd watch that.
I watch a lot of TV too, so I'm gonna check it out. All right, dude, listen.
Whoa! Why you got the look?
There's a couple on here.
Gerald's got the look.
There's a couple on here I'm excited about.
Okay,
let's start slow and build our way up here.
Yes.
So Domino's Pizza.
Pretend you're whining and dining me. Like take it slow and work me in. You know, like yeah.
All right. That was on episode 69. We're on 70. Okay. Domino's Pizza.
Okay. I love Domino's Pizza.
I do too.
Domino's Pizza is delicious.
Now, if I'm ordering pizza to be delivered to my home, I can assure you it's Domino's because of the time that they get here fucking quick, brother.
Yes. You don't do like the Papa John's, the Pizza Hut, and all that?
I don't do pizza because I used to work there.
Yeah. You used to work at Pizza Hut?
A long time.
Well, I don't do pizza because it's too expensive, man.
Is
pizza
it?
It's expensive.
That's kind of nasty, bro.
You get a pie and some breadsticks. It's like $45.
I ordered a long time ago. Yeah. And ever since, I just don't. I mean, we've gone to eat at one, but we've never gotten delivery for pizza. Okay. But Papa John's sometimes.
Okay.
I feel like the flavor of Papa John's is a little bit better, but you're sacrificing the convenience of getting it quickly. Domino's is fucking like here, like within 20 minutes.
And you love that. You love convenience.
Yeah, it's like, bring me my shit, bro. Like, I'm hungry. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't want to talk to the guy.
The Papa John's guys are a little more chatty. It's their thing.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. Hey, Gerald, how you doing in there? How are the kids?
Do you have any mute delivery drivers you could send my pie with? I don't want to talk to anyone.
You want the Helen Keller
please.
Of delivery please, drivers.
Please, just send them over. All right. So listen. So Domino's is going to be, they announced they're going to be delivering to beaches and public parks. The chain announced that it will meet new customers on various beaches at parks and landmarks to hand over their pizza, cheesy bread, and other food on its menu.
I'm not really surprised. I thought they already did that. You can't call them up and say, hey, I'm at this park. Can you bring me a pizza?
I guess. Not if it doesn't have an address, I think. But now you can because they do hotspots.
Ah.
So they can use your phone as a hotspot.
So see technology.
Before this announcement, you had to have an actual physical address.
So you can call them tonight at the Alamo and you can tell them to bring your pizza.
Well, they have an address, but yes.
Yeah. The Alamo.
Now, if I was at the real Alamo in San Antonio, that's a landmark.
Oh.
So I can say, hey, I want a pizza delivered to this to the Alamo. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool because I love Domino's.
Domino's, and I
always want to fucking eat. So yeah. If I'm laying down on the beach and I can have pizza, brother, and I don't have to get up, bring it to me. You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now.
Okay,
my wife and I and our kids, we go to the beach usually once a year. And we do this thing where we kind of have a ritual. We, you know, get up in the morning, have breakfast in whatever the condo we're staying in or whatever. And then we go out to the beach before it gets super, super hot.
That's what you got
to
do.
9 or 10 in the morning.
About an hour, 2 hours later, you get hungry.
That's the thing. So we sit on the beach. Your kids start getting hungry, start whining, you know.
You don't want to walk all the way back.
And it's like the condo's so far away. You got sand all over you. I got sand in my jockey shorts and shit. And it's like, just bring me the food out here. Then I just stay here, you know, because I'm drinking beer at 10 in the morning as it is. I'm stumbling up to the thing with sand all over the place. Just bring me my food. I think that's what I'm going to do next
time.
I'm going to tell my wife about that.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I will do this next time I'm on the beach. I'll be the guy that has a fucking pizza brought out to him in a crowd of people. Oh, anyway. All right, so here's the one I'm more excited about.
You know what? I think that the next time they do that, they're going to shoot a commercial with you in it.
Yeah, they
should. Because that's appetizing.
It is.
When you have this drunk, this drunk bald guy stumbling up. Yeah, because I mean, think of how many people like you in the world want their pizza on the beach. I mean, you are the target market. You are the target market.
Absolutely.
In fact,
brother.
When they do this, they ask themselves, what would Gerald want?
Absolutely, brother.
He wants
hope
mute?
So for their sake.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm more excited about this one.
Okay, we're building up. See, we're taking steps.
So, did you hear about last year? I can't remember if we discussed on the show or not. I feel like we did mention it, but it may have been one of the eps that you were off. Do you remember that Amazon created this new technology called Amazon Key last year, and they started doing in-home deliveries?
Yeah, they can get in your house. Yeah.
So, now they just announced last week they're expanding that to where they can now use that technology to deliver packages to your car.
That's crazy.
For you.
Even more convenient.
You see the story? So it's free for Prime members, which is also, I thought, really cool. But delivery drivers use a tech that sends a signal to your car virtually to unlock it. crazy. And then they place the package in the trunk of your car. Like I said, this technology is not new because they did it last year with in-home delivery.
Crazy.
It was the same deal. If you had a certain virtual lock on your door, they could unlock it with the app and put the package
inside. See, the thing is, maybe I'm just not busy enough in my life because I can't see why I would ever need that.
But my thing is, there are times...
Maybe if you're traveling a lot and you need it brought to your... I don't know.
If you're at work all day. I love Amazon. And anytime I get anything, I check Amazon. Is it on there? Can I get it on Amazon? Because let's be honest. I'm a fat slob that's lazy as fuck. So just bring me my shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to get my car pizza. And go out and buy it. You know
so
what
you're getting your pizza on the beach, but while your car is parked in the parking lot of the hotel, the condo, you get your stuff in the car.
Right. I can use both these on the same sitting. I don't have to move. But that's why I think it's cool. And like you said, a lot of people are on the go, brother.
That's the thing. I guess if you're at work, maybe you're traveling, you're at work all day, your car is parked in the parking lot of whatever, and you need something, you just get brought to your car.
And don't you think that, I mean, convenience and like...
Convenience is the best... is the biggest seller, I think, in our culture today. Convenience. People are selling convenience.
It's just the hustle and bustle.
Everyone's so busy. Poor. I feel bad for everyone. We're all so busy.
That's what I'm saying. So I think it's cool, but what I was going to ask you, would you feel safe doing this?
I don't think I'd ever use it, but I feel safe. I mean.
So you'd be cool with an Amazon delivery person unlocking your front door and putting a package in your house?
Yeah, I think I'd trust them.
You'd be all right with that. Yeah. That fucking cat you have would kill him, though.
That's the thing.
That cat's fucking crazy. You'd have to put a serious warning on your front door, like, beware of
crazy cat.
Jaguar. And then they open it like, this guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
But anyway, all right, so listen, we're going to get deep in a moment, but before we do that, we'll kind of segue with a little half light, half dark. We do that sometimes.
Okay. Are you excited about this one, too? Is this one of the ones
you're excited? Not really. This one's... kind of stupid.
Okay.
So Kanye West. Poor guy. He's a little, I don't know, he just loves attention in my opinion. But
talented guy.
How would you categorize his like personality? I don't even know what words to use without
I have a wonderful word for it. It's a word I use for children and for Donald Trump. Egocentric.
Okay.
So egocentric. The world revolves around him. He can't see past his own preferences and opinions. And I mean, when there's someone I mean, think about that. What would compel you to get up on stage while someone else is receiving an award? To think that somehow I'm more important than that person receiving an award.
Yeah, and that was Tay-Tay.
Why am I more important? Because I'm me. I'm me, and the world needs to hear what I have to say.
I'm gonna let you finish, bud.
I'm gonna say,
get it? That's what he said to Taylor. Here's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, he can't see beyond that. I mean, but then again, I'm giving my abstract opinion of him. I don't know him personally.
And this, I want to get
Kanye. If you want to meet and talk and tell me, you know, I mean, give me another opinion.
I want to get your opinion. And you mentioned the word abstract, kind of abstractly, because this is kind of what messes with me a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that as an artist? I think he has a great catalog.
Oh, no, Kanye is an extremely talented hip-hop artist. Yeah.
Right. As a musician and even as a producer of some songs that I love with Jay-Z and some other stuff, I honestly bounce every time one of his tunes comes on.
I remember when his first album was College Dropout.
College Dropout.
That was a great album. Yeah. I remember when that album came out.
You know, so I like him as a musician, and I've bought his stuff in the past, and like I said, if it comes on the radio, I think it's great. But is there a disconnect there, or do you merge the two when you see, let me tell you the story.
Okay, because I have an opinion,
So the story real quick about Kanye, we were off last week, but a couple weeks ago, he kind of doubled down on his support of Trump.
Okay.
On Twitter, Trump thanked him on Twitter. They had kind of like a buddy-buddy thing back and forth. Like I said in the past.
He's been to the tower.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said in the past, I don't care if you support Trump. If it meets your ideals and it's best for your family, then whatever. But Kanye obviously is in a minority demographic of people that support Trump.
Well, not only,
A, he's black, and B, celebrity.
And as an African-American celebrity, it almost seems like he has a responsibility to the African-American community.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gets him a lot of flack for that, which is, I mean, he's still, you got to respect him for voicing his opinion, regardless of what people think. But
That wasn't the story. I just wanted to mention that he's back on the Trump train here recently, publicly.
Okay.
But what he did do...
Oh, so there's something else.
Yeah, what he did do that made news even after that was he was getting a lot of flack for that from the African-American community mostly and celebrities that obviously don't like Trump. So he went on TMZ Live, which first of all, that was his choice to go on there. TMZ is obviously known as kind of a gossip.
Of course they are. I mean, they are the tabloids. They are the video
paparazzi
tabloids. Yeah, that's what they are. You know. They get most of their stories from, you know.
So he's on there.
But he actually goes on there.
He's on there and I don't know if you've ever seen one of his interviews, but he's very off the cuff and just kind of word vomit and just kind of says
I think that's a good expression of it.
You know, I mean, just says whatever pops in his mind, basically.
Yeah.
So anyway, during his interview, he said, quote, "When you hear about slavery, for 400 years. For 400 years. That sounds like a choice to me. We were mentally imprisoned, unquote. And like I said, he recently made headlines for the support of Trump as well. Mm-hmm. So that went viral as hell and blew up and people calling for all kinds of stuff and just, you know, veto him, mm-hmm. ban him, like all this stuff. So anyway, that type of personality that Kanye mm-hmm. has where he speaks his mind, obviously he didn't care what people thought, say something like obviously. That. And then, you know, supporting Trump, he doesn't care what people yeah. think either. So where can you disconnect his like artistry with like this crazy, because I don't like this type of, yeah. this Kanye I don't like.
Yeah.
And so when I hear that music, I'm like, In fact, we were talking about that wedding I did.
yeah.
I played a Kanye song.
Yeah.
And it was before this, but it was after the Trump stuff. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if people... Think. Or a jam to this knowing that
yeah exactly it's hard for us. I want to get into that. It's hard for us to disconnect. Now the thing about speaking off the cuff is that I don't know how much thought he put into this statement, because I'd like to hear him defend it. Like, there is a component to physical slavery that's mental as well. For the large part of slavery, the African-American slavery in our country, a lot of it was mental slavery. And you know, even when after the Emancipation Proclamation, well, it's hard to say that, the Emancipation Proclamation, even after that, as you know, we transitioned into freeing the slaves, there was a large component of the slave movement or the slave population that still had a hard time moving into regular life, not only because of the physical demands and not having an opportunity, but also because rethinking what it means to be a human being. So there is a component of mental slavery to that, but choice, I'd like to hear what he has to say about what choice did they have in that. I'd like to hear that. But anyway, to get to your question, we often have a hard time disconnecting, I believe. It's hard to let someone into your life. So when you have a musical artist or an actor or someone, an artist that you like, you become vulnerable to them. You let them into your life, into your emotions, into your psyche. So when you're letting their music and their artistry in, it's hard to disconnect that from the actual person. Now, I don't have a problem when an artist I like has opinions that differ than mine, because I can be like, I'm a fan of this particular artistic expression, mm-hmm. regardless of how you feel as a human being, because I believe they can be two different things. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult because, like I said, who they are is a part of their mm-hmm. artistry and a part of their expression, especially when you're a hip-hop artist or when, you know, when you're a spokesman for a community. It's hard to disconnect the two. Mm-hmm. Now, I can do it because I don't have a huge problem.
Well, here are you.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with accepting someone's music or someone's artistry, and also accepting that I disagree with them in this arena of their lives.
This would be similar.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this would be similar to folks on the right not watching Jim Carrey's movies because of the paintings he did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you could separate that piece of artistry with his career in movies.
Yeah. So, I think we can do it. It's just hard for us to, because especially artists, painters and visual artists, we don't really know the person as much. But when a part of your artistry is yourself, I am speaking, I am rapping, I am acting, you see me, it's harder for us to disconnect the human being, especially when it starts to overflow into the rest of our lives. Like mm-hmm. Kanye is very vocal about what he says and what he feels. And, you know... I don't know. It becomes more and more difficult the more he says.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I like I said, I'm struggling with it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because like I like his music, and I played it at that wedding. I hear it on the radio. You know, I'm gonna actually play a little clip here in a second. I love his music, but I do now when I hear the music, instead of just hearing the music,
you hear him.
I hear like, oh, this idiot.
Yeah.
You know, talking about this dumb shit, you know, that he should be talking about. So, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm kind of still battling with it, if you will. But I would like to separate it. I just don't know that I'm going to be able to.
It's interesting because most art has a very specific intention. So, as an artist, when you create a piece of art, whether it's music or painting or whatever, it has a very specific intention to it. And you can be a fan of that intention. Like, when you do this, I like it. What you have to say in this moment, I like it. Mm-hmm. It touches me in a certain way, and I'm moved by it. But when you go into this arena and speak, I'm not a big fan. And it's interesting the way that celebrity works anyway. Why would we possibly think or care what Kanye says about politics? He's a hip-hop artist. So, I mean, it'd be natural to say, well, what he says in this arena, I agree with. What he says in this arena, I don't.
Right.
Now,
you know, like I said, I think it's obviously the deciding factor for the most part is probably he just wants the attention.
Of course he does. And that's what...
And he doesn't even know that, I don't think.
For me...
I think it's like subconsciously...
That's the biggest part for me. Like, I could... Like I said about the slavery thing, I would want to hear him back that up and explain why he said it. But I don't even know if he could because he says things like that off the cuff. So... That kind of egocentric attitude, that starts to move over into his music. And I think you're right. You start to hear it in his artistry. So
you start to remember what you saw in the
especially,
news.
Especially, it's not just artistry. I think it's celebrity. It's more than artistry. It's celebrity. Yeah. Because celebrities are in our lives so much in their specific, in their personas, in their personhood. Mm-hmm. Because they're in our life so much, it's hard for us to disconnect because they're... As a celebrity, you are a person in the limelight.
Right.
And we are watching you. We are listening to you. We let you into our homes. Right. We let you into our hearts. And it's we get more disappointed that
right.
way.
Right. And,
you know?
Yeah, I agree. So, Kanye, making news again, brother. We'll see where it goes. But he's definitely not one to back down or waver. All right, brother. Yep. We're going to get into our one deep topic here in a second. Before we do that, let's run a promo. You want
to
do that?
I'd love to do
so, that. Listen. So, the next couple weeks, we're actually going to run this promo. Because on May 18th, our buddies over the Epic Film Guys are doing the live stream for The Cure for the second year in a row.
Oh, that's right. Okay, cool.
And they're going to be raising money for cancer research. I'm going to go on there and do a little fun top five list with those guys, I think on that Friday night. But they're going to be podcasting for 30 consecutive hours to raise money for cancer research. Mm-hmm. And last year, they raised over $2,500. They want to double it this year. It's all money coming really from independent podcasters and from listeners of podcasts. But they'll be doing that on May 18th through the 20th. So we're going to run their promo right now. And then when we come back, Andy, we will get deep.
Okay, I'm ready.
We already kind of did it.
I got my floaties on.
So stay right where you are.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the Live Stream for the Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? Oh, how could you be so heartless? How could you be so cold as the winter?
Welcome back in Two Bees on a Podcast, episode 70.
So let me ask you this. As you're jamming to that Kanye song, are you jamming to the song? Or are you thinking about what he said?
I saw you over there bouncing.
Yeah.
I saw you over there bouncing. It's a great tune, man.
Yeah. And I want to give our listeners permission. You can like art without liking the artist. It's fine.
Great
it's
tune. Fine. Great song. You can do that. A lot of great songs in his catalog.
Yeah, you can do that.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't really know where I'm at on it yet. I mean, I was bouncing to it just now.
Now, if you are paying for his album and he is doing something with that money that you don't like, you can say, I'm not going to give you my money.
Of course,
that's different.
Of course.
But, yeah. I mean, you can bounce to it.
Yeah.
I'll give you permission.
So we were both just kind of bobbing our heads.
Yeah, as soon as it starts, you're like, okay.
Now, with that being said, how many episodes of The Cosby Show are you going to watch tonight when you go home?
Okay.
Let's
now,
get into our...
Oh, wow.
Let's get into our one-deep
Yo,
topic.
G.
Let's get into our one-deep
That's
topic.
A powerful segue, because hey. Talking about artists
yeah.
who have created something memorable and the actual person doing something skeevy.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that word today a lot, skeevy.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, man. Okay, so, you got me thinking now. Okay,
well, I want you to, and I want to hear your opinion, because obviously it's come to light in the last week or so, but Bill Cosby been mm-hmm. found guilty in the sexual assault trial that he was facing there.
So found just, guilty.
Yeah, three counts. So let me just give the quick rundown and then we'll give our opinions. So he was guilty on three counts.
Okay.
The counts were without consent.
What without consent? Sexual assault without consent.
Yep.
That's the big one, obviously.
Sexual assault while she was unconscious or unaware.
Wow.
And then while she was intoxicated or drugged.
Wow.
So those were the three counts. He was found guilty on all
now,
of them.
Now, he was brought to court and to trial based on his relation to this one woman, right? And during that trial, all the other women came out.
Right.
So this is he was found guilty about having relations with this one woman.
Right.
Okay.
Right. This is the only one that's been taken to court yet, if you will.
Okay.
But Cosby's currently 80 years old.
80? He's 80 years old.
Yeah. The woman that you're talking about that sued him in this case mm-hmm. is Andrea Constant.
Okay.
And she's 45 currently.
And when did this affair take place?
I don't know that I have.
We're talking about during the Cosby Show, 80s, 90s?
I don't. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. No, it was in January of 2004.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. I do have it here. Okay, so let's see. So to what you said, so even though Cosby has faced dozens of sexual misconduct allegations spanning decades, he has only been charged criminally in the Constant case.
So this came up before this case, like the whisperings of it or the allegations of it has come up for a while. Because I don't remember hearing about this and more than like a couple years
ago. And he denied it forever. And then when it finally started going into the courtroom and got leaked to the press, yeah. then other people said, well, I'm empowering to tell my story now. But the Constant, a former employee at Temple University in Philadelphia,
okay.
testified that Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her in her Philadelphia home in January of 2004. And that was where this case originated from.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So the verdict, the guilty verdict, was one of the first major courtroom victories for the #MeToo movement,
mm-hmm.
Which has exposed sexual harassment and misconduct in entertainment, media, politics, mm-hmm. and beyond. So,
this case is interesting because not only did he use his power and he used his status, which is a lot of what the Me Too movement is about, but he actually went even beyond that and actually physically drugged these women as well, it's crazy to think about it, but it's another degree of misconduct on top of that.
Yeah, it's like you're Bill Cosby, but you still got to like, it's like you're kind of, it's kind of like two things.
Yeah.
It's, like I would have to drug a chick, let's be honest, if it's me. And Bill Cosby's Bill Cosby. He has a celebrity.
Yeah.
But he's doing both. It seems like, kind of like what you're saying, it seems kind of like overkill a little bit. I feel like he could have abused his power and he would have been done.
So it almost leads to like, you're wondering what's going on in this man's head. Why does he feel he has to do this? What kind of distortion in his persona and who he is brings him to do this? Because I wouldn't think that Bill Cosby, even if he wanted to have affairs, and you know, there's nothing illegal about having affairs. I mean, it's terrible. It breaks up marriages. It's not a good thing. But you think that he has a stream of available women that would have affairs with him because he's Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And he's so likable. Or he seems so likable. So if he has all these women available to him already, why would... What in his mind or what broken in him would make him go the extra mile to not only have affairs with women, but, you know, intoxicate and drug women?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's another degree. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Definitely some kind of deviant psyche that there's something weird going on there that he felt like he had to do that to multiple women, even though he's just been found guilty of the one here so far.
Yeah.
So let's see. So upon reading of the guilty verdict, several of Cosby's accusers that were there sobbed and shook with joy. Cosby's head was bent slightly, his eyes shut. Constant, the plaintiff in this particular case, maintained her composure as the verdict was read, which was in Montgomery County. So, what do you think? We're talking about the artistry, and we're talking about his legacy, yes. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Jell-O pudding pop memes have come out in the last week.
I'm sure they have.
That we could get into when we're not being as serious, but... I don't know. Bill Cosby, obviously, prior to all this stuff, had a giant legacy as, I would argue, the TV dad. I mean, he was like the...
Just the TV dad.
An icon in television.
The African-American TV father, successful. He played a doctor. His wife played a lawyer. They had a nice home. I mean, they became the model of what... a successful, what a hardworking African American, not just African American, but any of us could become a happy, well adjusted, hardworking, just a good, he played on his show just a good person.
Right.
Which is ironic. The model. And I mean, the Cosby Show, talking about breaking barriers and, you know, doing so much for the community and for TV. I mean, it's hard to think
crazy,
that,
right?
Do we erase all that? So, is that changed? Is that tarnished? Can I still like the Cosby Show and what he did and say, well, I don't want to hate anybody, but I don't respect the person anymore.
Right.
I don't agree with what he did. He's a monster. I understand the punishment, but also disassociate that with the persona and the show. Can I do that?
Well, let me throw something at you then and see what you think, because for some reason I feel differently about these two, but they're almost identical. So except that Cosby actually was found guilty in court, but I mean, allegation-wise, they're identical.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Spacey, okay?
Yeah.
A film actor that... prior to last year, I absolutely adored pretty much every movie he was in. Yeah. I thought was amazing. American mm-hmm. Beauty, Usual mm-hmm. Suspects, Seven. I mean, just a great actor with a catalog of movies that I own some of, and I just love all those films.
Mm-hmm.
So our friends over at Movie Geek, so I married a Movie Geek, they okay. do this, you know, fantasy movie draft thing
okay.
where you draft films from a genre or whatever. So one of the drafts I went on was the 99 movie draft, which is the year American Beauty came out.
An amazing movie.
Amazing film.
An amazing movie.
Amazing film. It won the Oscar, actually, that year mm-hmm. for Best Picture. Kevin yeah. Spacey was nominated for Best Actor for that.
An amazing movie.
Yeah. I didn't draft it. I had an opportunity to in a couple rounds.
But you couldn't. Like, in your heart, you couldn't do it.
That's what I'm asking
it.
You. Now, when it comes to Bill Cosby and the Cosby Show, if we're doing, which actually we have done, but I can't remember if it got mentioned, but if we're doing, you know, best television sitcoms.
Yeah.
Or
I remember Claire Huxtable was one of my, I did
TV
a show
moms,
with you. She
TV
was one
moms.
Of my favorite TV moms.
Because here's my thing when it comes to like the Spacey thing. And I guess I would let the public kind of opinion mm-hmm. sway me in that moment because it's a draft, so you don't know what movies are going to be available yeah. until it's your turn.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about it enough in advance, I guess. But my thing is, so many people worked on that project.
And that's the thing.
So,
yeah.
you know, the director, the producers, all the other actors.
Kevin
in the
Spacey
film,
plays a role
yeah.
or a piece or a part of a larger project.
Yeah. Now, if it's like a Kevin Spacey documentary where the whole movie is like devoted to him yeah. as a person, that's different.
But the Cosby Show was named after Bill Cosby. I want to say he was yeah. a producer. I mean, he had so, I mean, it was his show.
But like you just said, you know, you named Claire Huxtable.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's true.
Obviously,
yeah.
an amazing TV mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, man? I mean, would you have drafted American Beauty?
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Would
I got
you
a
have drafted
for you.
American Beauty?
I got a question for you. You a big fan of Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh?
Oh, yeah, I
his
love
paintings.
Him.
If it came out, and of course, Vincent Van Gogh was already had a lot of issues, what we know about him. But, I mean, it's hard because he's so long ago. But let's say he was a more recent artist. Maybe he just died, or maybe he hadn't died yet. What if we found out that he did some unsavory things? Would it be hard to appreciate his paintings? Mm. Now, that's different because with Cosby Show, it's hard to go back and watch the Cosby Show because you're watching Bill Cosby.
Right.
You're looking at his face and you're trying to believe.
And you're knowing, why as you're watching it, that that stuff's probably going on while that filming is
exactly.
happening.
Exactly. So, like, it's similar to Kanye, but with music, especially with actors, looking into their face and trusting them, especially when, I mean, this is a TV dad. So looking into Bill Cosby's eyes and trusting him and allowing yourself to be taken into that fantasy world and to be moved by it is so difficult because now we're looking at his face. It's different.
Right.
Now, if you came up to me and said, you know what, I can still watch the Cosby Show, I wouldn't judge you. You know, I would understand that because that is a piece of art created in a moment that, you know, can broken people create beautiful things?
You know,
I think broken
just,
people create beautiful things all the time.
The thing, that the word that comes to mind, and I know for people that suffer from the Me Too movement, and
I mean, I won't be watching it,
particularly
but,
people in this yeah. case, it's different, obviously. But the word that comes to mind for me is just unfortunate because
it's very unfortunate.
You know, for me, I think of like every night, or not every night, but many nights throughout the week, I'll just sit on the couch and I'll just watch a couple episodes of Seinfeld. One of my favorite, you love Friends.
Yes. Megan, when I came home last night, she was watching one. I was like, oh, this is that one with this, this, and this.
Yeah, one of my favorite shows of yeah. all time, Seinfeld. I'm going through the whole catalog on Hulu, so I'll just watch a couple every. I watched a couple last night when I yeah. got home. Now, if it came out that Jerry Seinfeld, God forbid, yeah. was in some kind of controversy like yeah. this with Cosby, I don't know how I'd feel about watching it.
Yeah.
You know? Now, Cosby Show was in the 80s. I was a young kid.
Yeah.
So I wasn't as attached to it at, you know, as I am now to shows and movies as an
yeah,
adult.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I'm a little more serious about my love of that genre now than I was yeah. as a kid. As a kid, it was just like, oh, it's on. My dad's watching it. I'll yeah. watch it. You know what I mean? So I don't know, but to me, it's just unfortunate, man, because he did have such a strong legacy.
And when you watch these things, you feel like by supporting the show, you feel like I'm supporting the man. So I think that's part of the connect we have is that you feel like I can't watch the Cosby Show anymore because by watching this, I'm supporting the man that I disagree with.
I just
with,
feel weird
supporting
about
the man who's done all these things wrong.
Well,
yeah.
Answer my question about the American Beauty. Would you have drafted American Beauty?
I think I still would have, yes.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's so removed from the person of Kevin Spacey. It's about a role he played within a very large I mean, the movie itself. I mean, Kevin Spacey does a good job in it, but he's not the best part of the movie.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of other things in
there. There's a lot of moving parts yeah. in it. That's what I was trying to say is that
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 10, 15 other actors in it that are, I mean, Chris Cooper's amazing in it.
And like I said, I want to really drill this point home that I do think broken people can create beautiful things and that we can respect those beautiful things for what they are apart from the person. Now, with Bill Cosby, I doubt any of the people he's hurt or the families of the people that he hurt, they would be very angry with me for saying that. I'm sure they would not agree with me at all. Like, look what he did to us. How can you support anything he's done? I think you can. Like, I don't know if I could personally. I think it's possible.
I mean, that's one of those things where, like we said earlier.
It just a bit depends on how close the art is tied to the human.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier. It's one of those things where you have to somehow separate the artistry from the person.
Yeah. Like, just think about it. Let's take a specific Cosby episode in general. Let's say that this Cosby show is about X, Y, and Z. And X, Y, and Z has a certain message. A message about loving family. A message about support. A message about moving on. A message about anything. Is that message still embedded in the show, knowing that one of the characters or one of the producers or whatever is having this outside thing that's dark and that's bad and that's hurting people? Can you still accept that message?
Yeah.
Can you still allow that message to touch your heart? Is the message still as pure as it was before?
Right.
That's the real question.
Well, with that being said, one of the things I was going to mention when we were talking about Cosby here today is that Bounce TV, which is kind of like a Nick at Night type deal,
okay,
has decided to stop airing the Cosby Show reruns.
Understandable.
After he was found guilty Thursday. You know, just says, quote, effective immediately, Bounce is removing the Cosby Show from our lineup, unquote.
And,
now, what I thought was interesting, and I don't know if you feel like it is or if I'm just reading too much into it, but what I thought was interesting is that they kept airing it during all the allegations.
Okay.
Because the allegations have been going on for the better part of a year.
Yes.
And Bounce TV has never stopped airing it until he was found guilty.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean...
Are you okay with that, or do you feel like they should have stopped when this all came out?
I don't know. I mean, if a producer, if someone at Bounce TV really believed Bill Cosby was guilty, they probably should have done it first of all. Because when they do it after the fact, it seems more of a publicity thing, meaning that we don't want to be...
Oh, we have to now.
We don't want to be associated with this.
But it also leads you to think that people are probably still watching it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you don't air something if it doesn't have any viewers.
Of course. So, I mean, and that's a lot different, I think, than... I mean, because it's all about support. Like I said before, if you watch it, you feel like you're supporting the man. The same thing with a company like Bounce TV. They feel like... You know, we can't be associated with this character now.
Right, right.
And by running the show, we are supporting the show and we are supporting the man.
Right. I mean, it's a tough thing, man. It's unfortunate. You know, I love Spacey. I love Louis C.K. Love a lot of the work that they've done. Obviously, Bill Cosby is a TV, or was, a, which is the unfortunate part. But he was a TV icon, you know. So it's just, it's unfortunate. But obviously, it's more unfortunate for what these women had to go through.
And it's harder and harder. Of course, anytime this thing kind of happens, I mean, I think the Bill Cosbys and the Harvey Weinsteins are the extreme cases that it's really easier to judge them because of the distance they go to and the amount of creepery in it.
Yeah.
You know, because with each of these characters, especially with a Louis C.K. or a, you know, what's the senator's name who dropped
Al Franken.
It? Al Franken. When you see what they did, there's a lot of male chauvinism there. There's a lot of abuse of power. But you can almost relate and say, okay, in Louis C.K.'s instance, he never forced anybody to do anything. He never drugged anybody. But he did take advantage of his position, which people do all the time. He came out. He was honest. He apologized. So you can almost humanize it and say, I kind of get where you're coming from. Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's still support you in your recovery and you're moving forward.
Yep.
But when you have like the Harvey Weinsteins and the Bill Cosbys, especially the Bill Cosby, the extremes, like not only did you abuse your power, you were making the conscious decision to put drugs in their system and doing things to them while they were unconscious. It's so much more difficult to humanize that and to say, well, I can see where you're coming from. No, I can't. Honestly, I can't see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I can't see what kind of distortion of your mind and your soul makes that happen. It makes that feel like it's okay for you.
All right, brother.
It's a difficult situation.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
I don't personally, and this is aside from all my very abstract comments, I won't watch The Cosby Show anymore because, like I said, it's an association thing. Looking at his face, I can't accept the message you're giving me now. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. Looking at you delivering this message
I have no desire to watch it either. but I guess my point when I brought up Spacey was I feel like that's unfair to the 10, yeah. 20, 30 other people that were involved in that program.
For some reason, I think I could still watch American Beauty.
Yeah.
I think I could. But
so last thing I'll just mention, Cosby faces a maximum sentence of 10 years and a fine of up to $25,000 on each count. He remains free on bail until his sentencing, which is expected to occur next month.
So there's all a right, chance. So, there's a chance he'll be in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I mean, he's already 80, so. Yeah. All right, so let's take a quick break, Andy. We'll come back, and we will get into our pop culture stuff and wrap up for this week, man.
Let's do it.
Hang tight.
All right.
The Via VHS podcast is changing lives. Here's some testimonials. Bill from Tallahassee, Florida says, I was able to quit my job and get a Ferrari, just like Magnum P.I. Sue from San Diego, California says, wow, it really helped with my crippling depression. Thanks, Via VHS. And Tom from Charlotte, North Carolina says, it cured my genital warts. Wow. Listen to the Via VHS podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Hey, we're back.
Episode 70.
Wow, 70.
70. Yeah. Gerald and Andy. Giving you the topics of the old week here, brother.
The old week.
We got a lot of kind of weird pop culture stuff to wrap up on here.
Very odd.
So the first, you don't even know yet, but you
but
know.
But I just assume.
You know that part.
When you say something's a little weird, I mean, that's crazy.
So listen, I don't even actually understand this one. So hopefully you saw this article and I need your help.
Okay.
So MIT, so students at MIT
okay.
in Boston, which is obviously a very prestigious
yes.
technical institute.
Yes, math and stuff.
Yeah. has created the world's first, quote, living tattoo. Did you see this?
I did see this.
So the students there developed ink that reacts to body's stimuli using 3D printed material fused with bacteria. The tattoo is a tree shape that you put on your skin. Each branch has bacteria that reacts to something different. So when it was exposed to different chemical triggers, corresponding branches would illuminate.
See, I think that's crazy. Now, it's hard to accept that you would inject bacteria into me because I have this negative connotation of what bacteria is. But the wonderful thing about it is it becomes like a human thermometer. Like when, like they say some react to temperature. So when you go outside and it's a certain degrees, it'll change.
Right, right.
But not only that, it reacts to certain things in the air. So let's say there's a pathogen in the air that you're allergic to, or there's something in the air that, you know, I guess that you're allergic to. It would change color to let you know.
Right.
Because you can tell right away your body's reaction.
That's fucking crazy, though, right?
That's weird. That's insane.
You have a tattoo?
No, I don't have any tattoos. I want tattoos.
I have two.
I want tattoos.
My kids.
I know exactly what I want, too, but I can't. One, I don't have the money.
You tell me what the yin and yang or something.
Yeah, I want four religious symbols on my arm.
Yeah, you tell me.
I can't, one, I can't afford it. Two, I don't know if I can pull the trigger.
You're a religious guy, brother. Yeah. have you seen the new, quote, shadow boyfriend security system over in Tokyo?
No. I have. I did see that. You need to get one of those.
So a Tokyo-based apartment company has developed something they are calling the Man on the Curtain security feature.
Okay.
It is a system that projects the shadow of a man in the windows doing a number of activities currently, such as karate, vacuuming, dancing, and reading.
They also have a Gerald, too.
Four things that no guy ever does.
They have a Gerald?
Just fucking...
Just sleeping. Just not moving.
Sits there immobile.
Yeah, just head back...
We could, it's like a welcome sign. We could break into this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's fucking fat doing
I'd
nothing.
Like the Gerald, please. Every once in a while, this machine brings it a beer.
They should have one. They should have a man propped up on a recliner eating a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. That's
that's
brother.
The Gerald.
That's me. You're not going to break in that guy. It would take me 20 minutes.
No, the reason you won't break in the house because that you're trying to trigger the crook sympathy. They just feel bad for you. I don't want to break into that guy's house. Poor guy's eating Fruity Pebbles on a Saturday night.
Man on the Curtain is controlled through the app, and the user can select what the shadow man does when they're not there. And Tokyo, there are nearly 2 million women that live alone, and this is why the app was created, and they are the target audience for that.
But don't you think if a crook got wise to this and saw a guy doing, like you have a window of a bunch of apartments, and like the guy's doing the same thing in every apartment?
It's like Home Alone, you know? Yeah. Like there was dancing in circles.
Oh, I love Home Alone.
Eventually, Joe Pesci should have caught on to that.
Yeah, like, come on. All right.
But actually, that's what some of the detractors have said. They said that they need more variety.
Yeah.
Because if they only do these four things... I mean, what dude is vacuuming at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
This guy.
Well, yeah, you do, but most people don't. Oh, how about this one, brother?
Okay, so, give me.
Are you into fajitas? You love fajitas, right?
I love fajitas. I'm having fajitas tonight for dinner.
Me too.
It's Taco Thursday.
Well, listen to this, dude. Well, there was a man that stole $1.2 million worth of fajitas.
That's a lot of fajitas.
And
he's
recently been sentenced to 50 years.
50 years for fajitas?
In prison.
Man.
So officers last summer found fajitas in the fridge of a man named Gilberto Escamilla.
Okay, it was in his fridge.
Yeah, he was, well, not all of them, but some of them. He was a previous employee of the Cameron County Juvenile Justice.
Where was he stealing them from?
So, what he was doing
okay.
is...
Give us a skinny.
He worked at a juvenile jail.
Okay.
And they obviously received deliveries for food for the inmates.
Yeah.
And they would get a bunch because they had a bunch of inmates. So what he did is they don't serve fajitas at the juvenile center.
But he'd order them.
But he would order the steak and the chicken and everything for the fajitas. And he would sign the invoice as, you know, food received. And then he would take the shit back to his house and he would sell it to restaurants and whatnot. And he did that over the course of a decade.
But they never caught him. They never, like, why are we paying all this money for meat?
No, because they got food for the place. So he would do a little bit at a time.
Ah.
And over the course of 10 years, he ended up making over $1 million from reselling it. And he never paid for it because the juvenile center paid for it as part of their, you know, food inventory.
Yeah, exactly.
So he said, quote, "It was selfish. It started small, but then got bigger and out of control. It got to the point where I couldn't even control it anymore. An 800-pound fajita delivery sparked confusion last summer when it arrived at the juvenile center, but that was his day off."
Oh, goodness. So Why'd you come today?
So he was not there to sign for it. So he was the employee that usually received orders. A trail of invoices and vouchers then led them to Escamilla. And it was a total theft of $1.2
million. He's fajitas. In jail. Fajitas are delicious.
He's sentenced to 50 years, brother.
50 years.
Are they that delicious? 50 years in prison?
Well, it's not just... It's just 10 years of crimery.
They're
you know?
Good. Hey, he'll be getting a lot of sausage now.
But I mean, you know what? This is... I know this is our entertainment bookend, but this gives you a little bit of insight into the Kanyes and the Bill Cosbys of the world because... Yeah, he says that things escalate and eventually you can't control it anymore. I mean, that's what there's a word for that. It's called addiction. And that's how our lives work. When you do something over and over again, you get lost in it.
Yeah.
And you just can't control it anymore. That's it. It's too bad.
I hope you like sausage and feed going forward.
Oh. He's in prison. Ooh. That was creepy.
All right, listen, there's an airline.
I heard you like fajitas.
We only got a couple more. There's an airline, an international airline called Wow Air.
Wow Air.
That is going to pay someone to travel the world.
Would you do that? I'd do that.
I wasn't married with a family.
I want to do that because I'm married with a family. Ooh.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. But they're going to foot the bill for your travel. They're going to send you wherever you want to go. They're also going to pay you $4,000 a month and move you to Iceland. So they're going to pay for your relocation to Iceland, which is where the airline's based out of. They're
so why are they doing this? What's the point? Advertising?
All you have to do is make content for the travel's website, and you have to take a lot of pictures on social media and video of the destinations that you end up.
So you become, you become their advertising guy.
You become
that's
like a
awesome.
Spokesperson for them. And
that'd be a great job for a young single person who just wants to travel the world, dude. That's wonderful.
All right, let's see. I tell you what, we'll do our last one and all three for a loop. Okay. I'll do this one quick. I'm going to tell you one real quick.
Okay.
There is a smart swear jar.
Okay, I like a swear jar.
It's called the Jargon, and it is a speaker that is always listening to its surroundings.
Jargon. Love Jargon. It. Love it.
It uses voice recognition to ID naughty words controlled by an app.
Do when you have a naughty word?
You get to enter the words that you want to flag as naughty. When one of them is heard, it lights up and sounds an alarm. The only way the alarm is turned off is when you put money in the jar.
That's wonderful. Do you swear a lot? Obviously.
What the fuck do you think?
Obviously.
I swear all the time.
Do you want to get one of these things?
No. I'd be broke. All my money would be in this jar. All right, last one, brother. I got three for loop, and I thought this one kind of spoke to us a little bit. I want to kind of see what you had.
Okay.
There is a bar in Brooklyn. It's a coffee and a brewery.
Oh, I like coffee.
Kind of combination. Yeah. It's called the Extraction Bar.
Okay.
It's in Brooklyn, New York, so obviously it's a little swanky.
Brooklyn, come on, Shaolin, come on.
They are offering, recently put on the menu, a cup of coffee.
Ooh, I like coffee.
Fresh brewed.
I'll take it.
Fresh brewed there for
$18. $18.
10 ounces. It's a 10-ounce cup of coffee.
That's not too much.
No alcohol in it.
Okay.
Well, don't tell me that yet because I got a loop for you.
Okay.
There's no alcohol in it. It's just literally a cup of coffee that costs $18.
Okay.
It is made from what they are calling a geisha grind from Panama.
Ooh, a geisha grind.
Comes from a coffee farm in Panama. Flavors are citrus, dark chocolate, and jasmine.
Sounds good.
They brew it using something called a steampunk coffee maker, which costs over $13,000. It's like a smart coffee maker that knows the levels.
They got to pay for the coffee maker. No wonder it's $18 a cup.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So your loop.
How much is your average drink at Starbucks? Like, what do you pay for a drink at Starbucks?
$5.
Yeah. So I guess 18's three times that. So I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot for a cup of coffee.
So here's the loop.
Okay.
How much is too much? Well, first of all, we should say we're both coffee lovers.
I love coffee.
Too much.
Love coffee.
We just pounded two cups while we're sitting here. How much is too much for a cup of coffee? What would you spend? And what would you want the kind of special flavoring to be?
Okay, that would make you spend that. I don't need any other flavors besides coffee. So I just want a really, really, really good cup of coffee.
You just want a black cup of coffee?
I want a really good cup of coffee. Now, I'll go to Starbucks and I'll get like a $4 or $5 latte.
Yeah.
But it's pretty big. So I think I would, I probably would not go above $10 for a really good cup of coffee.
But what would be the draw for you if it wasn't the flavor? Just that it was from a certain region or
I guess
a
so.
Lot of hype around it or what?
I mean, I try to be socially responsible, so I think it has to be fair traded. It has to support something.
Okay.
I mean, that when I'm giving to this cup of coffee, like when I'm giving my $10, I know that it's going for something good. It's helping somebody. So I think if it helps somebody, like, you know, we're donating to this or we're supporting this farm, that's a good point. Half the money goes to whatever. I love the idea of local. You're wearing a North Carolina t-shirt right now. I love the idea of local. So I think I'd pay upwards of $10 for a cup of coffee.
If I knew
it's a good cup of coffee. B, more importantly, it did something.
Right, right. Well, that's a good point, and much more substance to your answer.
I want my coffee to do something more than make me pee.
Or poo-poo, if you're me. I put $20, okay? And here's the
thing. You paid $20 for the latte? You rolling, son?
Let me tell you,
though. Woo, big man on campus.
A little asterisk.
Okay.
I put $20.
If it was served by some kind of hot woman or man in a maid's outfit.
No, although that may be $25. But I put $20, but I would only do it one time.
Okay.
So if there was like this one, for example, if I lived in Brooklyn, if there was a lot of hype around it,
yeah.
And also I put that I would want to have either like peppermint or vanilla flavoring.
Oh, I love vanilla.
I love peppermint mixed with chocolate. I know you don't, but my wife doesn't either. But for some reason, I love peppermint. I get peppermint mochas at, you know that.
I get vanilla lattes at Starbucks.
So I love that kind of minty coffee flavor. Okay. So if it had that, I would get it one time. And I would be like, this is what $20 cup of coffee
But would it
like.
Need, it need it, you would have to have the hype though.
Like, yeah, you, I mean, you I have would, to know
You wouldn't it. Walk around some kind of random coffee shop and you say, hey, $20 coffee in the window.
Perfect
but
example. Perfect example, when Starbucks, who I frequent all the time, every time they release, you know, those special...
Like, unicorn frappuccino. We shared one together one
the
time.
The zombie frap.
No, we didn't share one.
They just did a crystal ball frap. They do all these. They're just flavored fraps, but they give them cool names and they promote them. So there's hype around them, and you only have a week to get it.
Yeah,
I go get it.
You're all about the hype
because I want to know what it tastes like. So if somebody was pumping up a $18 or $20 cup of coffee and it was in my neighborhood, I'd grab it.
I'm a creature of routine. I want the same thing every day.
I'm not gonna go back and get it, but I'm gonna get it one time and say, okay, this is what a $20 cup of coffee. Now I'll probably be let down, to be honest with you, because I'm a pretty simple guy. I mean, what do I got?
Exactly.
Green
see, that's the thing. Like, and that's why I said, like, that's why I would need it to serve something, because like I said, I just like a good cup of coffee. Like, I remember I had a French press for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, my sister does
at the coffee shop at Oasis in Carrborough where I'm doing the talks.
And what did you think?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Now, I got it for free because he gave it to me because I was speaking there that night.
But
I'd never had French press before. I'd actually never had Counterculture Coffee before, which is local here in Durham.
Yeah.
Right down the street from us. And it was delicious.
Well, my thing is, I would try it one time, and, you know, I'm never going to do it again because I'm not a wealthy man. But I'd want to see, like, why is this $20 different than a $5?
Exactly.
And kind of,
it's the hype. You're paying for the hype, homie.
Maybe.
Well, you're paying for their $15,000 copy machine. That's what you're paying for.
All right, give us your final thought on episode 70, Andy.
I want to remind you guys to not take things personally. It's actually a guy named Don Miguel Ruiz who wrote a book called The Four Agreements. And one of those agreements was don't take anything personally. I think the reason we judge so much, the reason we're so hurt by the Bill Cosbys of the world, because we take it personally. We think they're affecting us with their opinions. They're affecting us. They're hurting us personally. Now, if they're not doing anything to you, you don't have to support them. You can speak out against them. You can try to change the world and make the world a better place, but it doesn't have to hurt you personally. You don't have to take it personally. I mean, when someone cuts you off in traffic, or when Kanye West talks about how much he supports Trump and you don't, you didn't have to hurt you personally. You can say, you know what? You're not hurting me. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to try to give a little more love to the world, and you can support who you support, and I'm just going to give love.
Awesome, yeah. Brother. I love it, and yeah, I love you.
Oh,
I
thanks,
give
brother.
You love, brother.
You know, I'd pay $20 for a cup of coffee if you brought it to me.
Thank you.
In a robe.
Wait a minute, what?
In a robe.
You would drink it if I paid for it and brought it to you?
Hey, no, yeah, if you paid for it. That should be my stipulation.
All right.
I would pay, no matter what the amount, I would pay any amount of money for a cup of coffee if Gerald paid for it.
If I'm speaking at a coffee shop and they give me a free thing, I'll drink it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Anybody would do that. All right, that's it for episode 70, Eddie. Thank you so much, brother. We'll be back next week. We'll do 71 for the people.
For the people.
Let's do it. They expect it.
So next week's for the people.
Next week's for the people. I don't know what the fuck this week was for, but next week's for the people.
Got it.
I'll see you there, brother.
Armor.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.